Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hey, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is August 17th, 2010. You're listening to show number 73 of Who's Reading the Organon. We will be reading aphorism number 50, 54, and possibly 55 today. I will begin with some inspirational quotes because we always like to start off on a positive foot and begin our day that way. Perhaps you're in the evening hours. Miss Painter from Twitter has a very tweet. She just says, silence, stillness. And I give you a pause for that. And I wondered where she reached deep down to get words, because Twitter is constantly buzzing, the stream always flowing. And some random quotes. One from Bill Cosby. Through humor, you can soften some of the worst blows that life delivers. And once laughter, no matter how painful your situation might be, can survive it. Some of the quotes are, to love is to risk not being loved in return. To hope is to risk pain. To try is to risk failure. But risk must be taken, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. Another one is, if I never met you, I wouldn't like you. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't miss you. But I did, I do, and I will. And I will send that out as a big shout to all of the HWC members and all the listeners of Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community. We are together here learning and improving our lives. Vera, let's see if she's logged in yet. Yay, Vera, you're there.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, everyone.
Hey, great sound today. And I wanted to just give another little network news. One is that Gary Weaver is introducing his new computer program with a competition on the HWC network. So please post your very best cured cases and take a look at that. We will be putting up a banner. Dr. Mir Zahid is continuing with the controversial questions about diet and homeopathy and getting a lot of activity. And lastly, world news. Take a look at the CNN reports about the Gulf oil spill, because the after effects continue. We will be reading aphorism number 53 today.
And I think actually we're recapping 52.
Oh, we're recapping 52.
Yeah, because we only read it. Okay. We didn't really talk about it.
Oh, cool.
Is that right?
All right, then, yes. Yes,
I think we just opened the subject, but I don't think we actually discussed it.
Okay, well then it's a good thing we will refresh that again. Do you want to read?
Okay. There are but two principal methods of cure. The one based only on accurate observation of nature, on careful experimentation and pure experience, the homeopathic, before we never designedly used. And the second, which does not do this, the heteropathic or allopathic. Each opposes the other, and only he who does not know either can hold the delusion that they can ever approach each other or even become united, or to make himself so ridiculous as to practice at one time homeopathically, at another allopathically, according to the pleasure of the patient, a practice which may be called criminal treason against divine homeopathy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
comments on that?
Well, we started in on the subject of giving remedies alongside medicines. We discussed that a little bit yesterday, I think. But the thing that calls my attention is the expression, he says, a criminal treason against divine homeopathy. Now, I remember when I was a student, it was kind of, you know, we laughed at all these expressions. It's like Heinemann going over the top again. You know, he's being OTT, divine homeopathy. What's divine about it? And being extreme. And in the years that have passed, I've come to understand, I think, why he was so extreme in his condemnation. First of all, he felt that homeopathy was divine. It was a gift that God gave to mankind, that nature can cure by coincidence homeopathically, and that nature produces substances that if we learn how to use them, we can cure using the homeopathic principle. So for Heinemann to refer to it as divine when you understand the context, and just thinking how much he must himself have been in awe of the cures that homeopathy can effect, having seen the ineffectiveness of allopathy. But I think beyond that, Heinemann sets us up within the Organon to practice homeopathy in a way that will work. He shows us the principle, he shows us the case management, he shows us how to give remedies, how to choose remedies, and how to take the case so we'll know what remedies to give. Now, if we take, I think this is why he uses the extreme expression criminal treason, because if we take this route of neither here nor there, a bit of allopathy, a bit of homeopathy, switching between the two, allowing the patient to pressure us into prescribing in certain ways, or allowing the patient to pressure us into recommending that they take conventional medicine, or that we change something in our practice, that will lead to a situation where homeopathy does not get results. Homeopathy is divine. If homeopathy is not getting results because we are messing with it, I think this is why he used this very extreme expression of criminal treason. How does that sound to you?
I think that he was extremely passionate about his work. He was so immersed in his work. This was his complete life. And in the day and age in which he lived, they were doing extreme measures that he saw the poor results and what it was doing to individuals. I can understand how he felt. I also understand the other side of the coin. I understand that people want relief from their pain, from their discomforts, and in so doing, they will take conventional medicine. And this is something that homeopaths today will have to deal with, because it is very available, and there are their regular physician, which I personally have to recommend a person go to their regular physician and get clinical lab test results, whatever it is, so that they know what's going on in their body. And I see both points of view, and I can understand and when somebody is deathly ill, they want help. And if homeopathy is not working because of whether we don't have the knowledge or, you know, we are personally, humans are not God. We are not divine. Maybe the process and the method is given divinely, but we are human and we make mistakes. So I take that into my consciousness of what I do and what I think. Now, other people might feel otherwise about it. When I read this, I do key in on the fact of according to the pleasure of the patient. So yes, if you are the homeopath, if you are the one who is providing the advice, and if you need to get a consultation with another homeopath, do so. Get the best advice you can for your patient.
I don't think
it into. Go ahead.
I don't think that Hahnemann is saying here, I mean, Hahnemann says there is a place for allopathic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And he determines the times when you need the conventional medicine, you need the skills. And I don't think he's saying if in life-threatening situations, if homeopathy doesn't work, don't take anything else. I don't feel that's what he's saying at all. What I do feel he's saying is if you also consider it in the light of what went on after his time and what was starting to happen in his time, that people would not take full cases. They would mix homeopathic treatment with conventional treatment. The patient might demand...
Okay, we're just losing your sound. You just faded out there. So to me, what this is saying is in this aphorism, it's talking to the homeopath, aphorism 52, as a warning, as this is the way it's going to work the best. And if you don't take care and start mixing and matching different methods, then you're not going to get the most purely fine experiment. So he does begin with saying that this is a careful experimentation and pure experience and observation of nature, meaning that homeopathy does set up scientific experiments. It does set up a way and a method to get to a reasonable solution. So this is what we're learning through all the aphorisms. Vera, are you back? No,
I'm
lost
here.
Your sound completely.
Hello.
Oh,
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you were gone for a long time.
No, you were speaking, so I didn't interrupt.
Oh, well, I had lost my sound to hearing you. So therefore, you know, I do believe that he's trying to tell us as a warning that homeopathy is a scientific, evidence-based form of medicine based on experimentation, observation of humans, in relationship to other humans and nature, and therefore follow this path. And if you go back and forth and waver, then you're mixed results. And that's my own personal conclusion from this, and you might feel otherwise.
To build on your conclusion, which I completely agree with, when homeopathy is seen to be practiced but is not really being practiced because what's happening is the person is skipping the prescriber through patient pressure or through his own internal pressure, is skipping between homeopathy and conventional medicine. When homeopathy is seen not to have results, and we see this in our days, then people feel that homeopathy is not worth anything, and people don't use homeopathy in the way it can be used. So I take your conclusion, just build on it as well. It's very much, I think, what the aphorism is about.
Well, and to build on what you just said, to say that people feel that homeopathy is not worth anything because it doesn't work in one or two instances or whatever instances is the same thing for allopathy. Because when a conventional doctor uses treatments, they do not get 100% cure. They do not get even, I don't want to guess on what percentage of improvement rate they get, because you'll go to the doctor and they'll say, try this cream. Oh, that didn't work. Try this cream. Oh, you know, and you could go back and forth forever. And they don't dismiss it outright as not working or not worth anything. So I think it's a message to us that all of us, all healers, must look at what is working best. And I'm ready to go on to the next aphorism.
But also just one more comment on this one, because I find that the approach to conventional medicine by some people has become almost religious. If people are not getting results, they've convinced themselves that they are getting results, that the doctor knows best. Someone I knew of was going through a 5-year allergy program, desensitization, where she would go every week or so to a clinic and get injections. It was over 5 years with no assurance that it would help. And nobody would go to a homeopath for 5 years at least I hope not, with no assurance, no sight of things helping.
Mm-hmm.
And well, people do this.
Something must be triggering our reverberations here today, because you just went back and forth. Yes. So going back to that word that you said, religion, this aphorism does have the word divine in it. So there is something else, and part of it is that people must have trust and faith in their practitioner, in their physician, in order for them to continue on with them. And they put that faith into their physician for personal reasons, and also to know that they have hope that something will improve in their life. And that's why they will continue to go on for 5 years. Hopefully a homeopath will say after a year or so, if it's not working with me, I would suggest you find somebody else, or let's try something else. So these are good points, and maybe it'll come up again on future aphorisms. Dr. Saji has said, even on the comment chat line, he said, even though we are homeopaths, if our medicine is wrong, if not the similimum, our prescription becomes allopathic. Okay, so he's bringing up a point, a principle that homeopathy in itself connotes that you're getting a similimum, a remedy that is going to match the energy of the individual to heal. And if you're not, then it is not even homeopathic. I think that's what he's saying. He can correct me on the chat. Friends, if you are listening and you are not a member of HWC, there are people who are on Homeopathy World Community as members on the chat, and they comment there. How much time do we have? Let's see. Oh, we have plenty of time to go to the next aphorism. Vera. Oh, Vera is not even on the line, so I will go ahead and read aphorism number 53. Okay, while we're waiting for her to come. Hi, I was just about to read aphorism number 53 today.
Okay, go ahead.
So, the true mild cures take place only according to the homeopathic method. Ah, this is referring exactly to what she just said to us, which, as we have in previous aphorisms 7 through 25, by experience and deduction, is unquestionably the proper one by which through art the quickest, most certain, and most permanent cures are obtained, since this healing art rests upon an eternal, infallible law of nature. The pure homeopathic healing art is the only correct method, the one possible to human art, the straightest way to cure, as certain as that there is but one straight line between two given points. Take it away, Vera. You have something to say.
not that much. It seems that he's summarizing again, and perhaps the most important part of the summary is that this healing art rests upon an eternal, infallible law of nature, which is something that Hahnemann brings home to us over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
If something is based on the law of nature, it means we have a foundation to build on as we develop the method. If something is based on random, Hahnemann goes into this much more. I really recommend that people read Hahnemann's lesser writings.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article in Hahnemann's lesser writings called The Curative mm-hmm. Powers of Drugs, which I very strongly recommend to anyone who's listening. It gives a lot
Did you have anything to say from that? Were you reading a quoting in there or not? You just want to recommend it?
I just want to recommend it, yeah.
Okay. This aphorism 53 followed up perfectly with aphorism 52, and Saji was the segue into that. And to me, he's talking now, bringing up the quality of art itself. And I still have this tendency to go back into theoretical thinking and philosophy, because bringing up the concept of nature as being just coincidence or random, it just doesn't fit into my own personal belief system and mindset, that I do not feel that way. I feel that nature and the laws of nature are guided by some structure, some organization, by our creator. And so there's this kind of a little bit of tension for me between what he's speaking and what he means and how we utilize this information. And that is my kind of take on it. Although he ends with saying, from this point to that point, you have a straight line. And in order to get to the goal, like instead of going through a maze, if you want to get to the quickest, the hypotenuse, to the quickest way to the end goal, there is a way, and he's providing it through this method of homeopathic. Mm-hmm. Okay. So have I unearthed something here?
I was wondering if you could explain more what you mean by the tension that you feel.
Yeah, I just feel like there's sometimes you feel as if he says in previous aphorism 50-something, he says nature is the laws of nature where it's, you know, these diseases are occurring haphazardly. You know, they're not organized in any fashion. The one is not coming in on purpose to alleviate the weaker, the stronger and the weaker. And yet, we can utilize this as a system in our own practice. And so that's where the tension comes in. When he speaks about randomness and coincidence and haphazard, and an actual organization and this straight line from here to there, that's where my tension lies.
I think that part of what you're mentioning is resolved a bit in aphorism 51, where on the one hand, Hahnemann, I see where you're going with this. On the one hand, Hahnemann talks about crude nature as the way that diseases pop up, and a disease can come about coincidentally that happens to be stronger than the one that was before and cures the one that was before, or a disease mm-hmm. can come up coincidentally that is stronger but kills the patient anyway. And mm-hmm. in nature, when the diseases show up, so far we see patterns in epidemics, but we don't see clear patterns. There are those who talk about certainly bacterial, also viral diseases being part of the evolution and the survival strategy of the bacteria and the viruses themselves, but that's not mm-hmm. really part of the mandate here. The thing is that on the one hand he shows coincidental activity of nature, but on the other hand he shows a law of nature. So the coincidental part of the activity is whether a disease is going to show up or not. The law is that a similar stronger disease extinguishes the weaker, the similar weaker disease. So mm-hmm. I see exactly why you're saying there's a certain amount of tension. What he's saying, on the one hand, it's coincidental, it's happy-go-lucky, it's crude, it's this, it's that. And on the other hand, he's referring to the law of his observation that is the basis of the entire healing method. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a very important point to grasp and to differentiate between the two.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm getting from that response is that what he felt, I don't know whether he did feel or not, what I'm getting from this is that the timing, the sequence of these disease patterns overlaying one another, one that is in the natural being, or one that comes in the epidemic and then another epidemic comes. Is this a message? The timing of this, is this something divine that has been given to us to learn from? And why does it happen sometimes and not all the time that one epidemic doesn't come and heal people from the previous one and then leave? So, I mean, I feel that he has a spiritual nature to him, and he questions also the workings of the universe. That's my own personal take.
I'm sure that he questioned the working of the universe. Just his approach to questioning the working of the universe was to observe how it worked, and to observe in a way that was unprejudiced, see what's mm-hmm. going on. Very often when we observe the universe, we observe it with certain preconceived ideas, or certain prejudices. We see what we expect to see. And there's a ton of experiments on that that show that there could be something going on that you won't see because you don't expect it to be there. I think here we do need to differentiate between seeing diseases, which is there a pattern, isn't there a pattern? That's not what he was focusing on. What he was focusing on is, how does cure happen in the human body? And he's looking and he sees, oh, cure sometimes happens coincidentally. The person got sick with something similar and stronger, but it's haphazard and it's uncontrollable and it's uncertain and potentially dangerous. And then the resulting thought pattern is, if that happens in nature and it's uncontrollable, how can I control it?
Wow, that is a huge question, Vera, and it just is a huge overlay of a global kind of view of natural disasters.
But in this case, let's just take it back to the aphorism, because we don't have much time. What's important to see is, as soon as Hahnemann says, how can I control it, he opened the gate to homeopathy, because homeopathy is a way of controlling disease, of creating an artificial disease which will do what we tell it. A natural disease will not do what we tell it. So Hahnemann, intensely practical, says, how can I control this process? How can I use this law? And we get homeopathy.
Unbelievable. This is just an aha moment, at least for me. And it opens up, like you say, the floodgates to homeopathy, but to so much more, because if this is a law of nature, it could be used elsewhere, not just for healing the human organism, but other kinds of disease that we have in the world. Although, we're dealing with so much today, so many natural disasters and things, and I appreciate the fact that you were able to provide that today.
Well, psychologically, it's one of the questions. If someone comes to you and tells you that they're feeling miserable and that they're no good and they're worthless and they're unsuccessful, the question is always whether you tell them, no, you're wonderful, you're good, you're beautiful, you're successful, which is essentially allopathy, or whether you say to them, you know, you're right, don't waste my time, which given
don't waste my
dilute
time?
Form, which
oh,
given
my goodness
in very
gracious.
Dilute form, probably without the don't waste my time, is actually homeopathy.
Yeah, please. Uh-huh.
It's actually homeopathy.
Well,
I remember hearing someone said at a seminar once that a patient came in to her, and it was in the end of the day, and she was tired, and she didn't have patience, as in being patient. And the patient sat down in front of her and said, everything's going wrong in my life, nobody loves me, I'm single, I'll never get married, I'm this, I'm that. And the homeopath, who was at the end of a long, hard day, just didn't have patience for it. And she said, yes, you're right, you'll never get married, you don't look good, you this. And the woman got up and said to her, I look fine, I will get married, I'll get the job of my dreams, and I don't need your help. Marched off. Is that a cure or what?
Wow. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. I don't know. That's like, okay, so we are a mirror to our patients. We do reflect our patients. Empathy is a good thing. To acknowledge what the person feels is a really good thing, and not to negate their feelings. We will continue the discussion tomorrow. We only got to aphorism 53 when I thought we would do 3 aphorisms today. So thank you all for listening, and take the Organon off the shelf and read it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon? with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.